VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, we've got certainly some concerning news we want to share with you here today as it relates to marriage. But before we get to that, the White House did announce this morning that President Joe Biden did test positive for COVID-19. Now, this is a story here on townhall.com. Julio Rosas wrote that this is despite the fact that he is vaccinated. He has had two booster shots as well. The White House's statement says that Biden is experiencing mild symptoms and is now taking Paxlovid. They assured Biden will work remotely to carry out all of his duties. But just to keep in mind, when former President Trump tested positive for COVID in 2020, Biden said that Trump bore some responsibility for getting infected with COVID because he would often not wear a mask or social distance at campaign events. And it was also a year ago that Biden said this, quote, "You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations." Well, President Biden has contracted COVID despite being double-shotted and double-boostered. And here at Crosstalk, we encourage you to pray for him. Earlier this week, just after 5 o'clock this past Monday evening, we had received an alert from Family Research Council indicating that Nancy Pelosi was scheduling a vote on legislation to codify so-called same-sex marriage the following day. Yes, just with hours' notice. The Defense of Marriage Act was approved in 1996. It was an overwhelmingly bipartisan majority in both houses of Congress. In the House, the Defense of Marriage Act passed 342-67. In the House, it passed 85-14. It was signed into law by then-President Bill Clinton. The Defense of Marriage Act was put into place. And all of a sudden, here as a result of Roe v. Wade being overturned, and there's concern that other measures were going to come forth as well to possibly face being overturned, we see that Nancy Pelosi acted very quickly to bring about a vote in the House to codify so-called same-sex marriage. H.R. 8404, and virtually within 24 hours of its introduction, the House passed this legislation. It passed it overwhelmingly. The yay votes were 267. The nays were 157. There were 47 Republicans that joined the Democrats to pass a repudiation of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Unbelievable. We're going to be reading and sharing those names with you here on the program today. Some names may surprise you. Others will say, no, I expected that from them. But looking at H.R. 8404, it says it is to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act and ensure respect for state regulation of marriage and for other purposes. Well, friends, it does nothing. It does not do that at all. It disrespects the state regulation of marriage. So when a state has a Defense of Marriage Act in place or a constitutional amendment in place, this law would negate that, saying that if any state allowed for the marriage of two individuals, then you must accept that in your state. They're calling it the Respect for Marriage Act, and all the pro-family agencies I've seen are calling it the Disrespect for Marriage Act because it does just that. It has no regard for marriage. I'm reading directly from the legislation. No person acting under color of state law may deny full faith and credit to any public act, record, or judicial proceeding of any other state pertaining to a marriage between two individuals on the basis of the sex, race, ethnicity, or national origin of those individuals, or a right of or claim arising from such a marriage on the basis that such marriage would not be recognized under the law of that state on the basis of the sex, race, ethnicity, or national origin of those individuals. Any person who is harmed by a violation of subsection A may bring a civil action in the appropriate United States District Court against the person who violated such subsection for declaratory and injunctive relief. And so H.R. 8404, with approximately 24 hours notice, I mean, the list of co-sponsors was many. I mean, just within hours, I mean, the sea of names that were signing on as co-sponsors of this legislation were all added to it. I have several comments on this, and they're going to come rather varied on this issue. Here's one from Todd Starnes saying that the GOP's seismic shift on same-sex marriage. He quotes in his column yesterday, "The Republican Party is undergoing a cultural shift, and it's going to be seismic. For the past decade, the GOP has moved to the center left on some of the major cultural issues of the day and to the far left on issues regarding sex and gender. If it becomes law, the legislation would codify same-sex marriage. It would become the law of the land." He pointed out also in his column that last year, RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel enraged evangelicals by endorsing Gay Pride Month. With the tweet, "Happy hashtag Pride Month," she wrote on Twitter, "at GOP is proud to have doubled our LGBTQ support over the last 4 years, and we will continue to grow our big tent by supporting measures that promote fairness and balanced protections for LGBTQ Americans and those with deeply held religious beliefs. The tide is indeed shifting on issues like gay marriage within the Grand Ole Party, and leadership is not worried about offending the party's evangelical base. Inside the Beltway," he writes, "they believe that evangelicals are locked in and will never abandon the party. But if the evangelicals do bolt, the Republicans will never win another national election. Regardless, Republicans were willing to take that chance. They thumbed their nose at the base of that part along with the Holy Bible in hopes of winning over LGBT Democrats for better or for worse." Todd Starnes finished his column by saying this, "The question now is whether the marriage between Republicans and evangelicals is headed for divorce court." Isn't that an interesting column from Todd Starnes as he observes this? The Hill also indicated about this passing in the House, again calling it the Respect for Marriage Act, though it is indeed misnamed because it disrespects marriage. 47 Republicans joining forces with the Democrats for this. And they say that it does face a shaky future in the 50-50 Senate that calls for the repeal of DOMA. But what's interesting is with the push that's going on within the Republican basis there, there are a number that look like they're going to abandon ship with the Republican platform. And I find it very interesting in all of this that of the Senate version, now the House version has already passed. It's already a done deal. It now goes to the U.S. Senate, where it was just introduced on the 19th. Now on Tuesday, the official rendering of Senate Bill 4556. So in the Senate, it is S-4556. When it's going to come for a vote, I don't know. But I can tell you this, there's a lot of talk going on behind closed doors right now. There's a lot of arm twisting going on. And the 47 Republicans that abandoned their platform is going to give a huge push for wishy-washy individuals in the Senate to also cave. Now, I do want to, I've got a list of the names here that I want to read for you, the 47 Republicans that joined, along with the Democrats, to thumb their nose at the biblical definition of marriage. They include Representatives Kelly Armstrong of North Dakota, Don Bacon of Nebraska, Clint Bentz of Oregon, Kent Calvert of California. I'm seeing here, this list is partially erased by the printer here, but Kamarack of Florida, Mike Carey of Ohio, Liz Cheney, Wyoming, John Curtis of Utah, there's Rodney Davis, there's Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida, Tom Emmer, Minnesota, Brian Fitzpatrick, Pennsylvania, Andrew Garbino, Mark Garcia, Carlos Jimenez, Tony Gonzalez of Texas, Anthony Gonzalez, I believe he's Ohio. There's Ashley Hinson of Iowa, Daryl Issa of California, Chris Jacobs of New York, David Joyce. There's Representative, out of New York, Adam Kinzinger, Illinois, Nancy May, South Carolina, Nicole Meliotakis of New York, Brian Mast, Florida, Meyer of Michigan, Muser of Pennsylvania, Miller Meeks of Iowa, Lake Moore of Utah, Newhouse of Washington, Obernolte of California, Owens of Utah, Perry of Pennsylvania, Tom Rice, I believe he's South Carolina, Maria Elvira Salazar of Florida, Mike Simpson, Idaho, Elise Stefanik of New York. There is a shocker to many, Brian Stile of Wisconsin. Brian Stile, the first congressional district of Wisconsin, joined that list of Republicans who joined Democrats to thumb their nose at the biblical definition of marriage. Chris Stewart of Utah, Mike Turner, Ohio, Fred Upton, Michigan, David Velardo of California, and others as well. But these are the individuals that joined with the Democrats. Let's see. Van Drew of New Jersey as well. Wagner of Missouri. That signed up with the Democrats here in casting their names as being a part of this. I think there were a couple other W's here, too, if I can get them. Let's see. Waltz of Florida. Zeldin of New York as well. But 47 Republicans joined aboard with the Democrats to thumb their nose at the biblical definition of marriage and also thumb their nose at their own party platform. An article from the Washington Stand indicates even if the bill's future is unclear, the House's fast tracking of the bill is emblematic of the astonishing speed at which the moral revolution continues to move concerning same-sex marriage. We do know that in 1996, Congress passed DOMA. We talked about the overwhelmingly bipartisan majorities. Liberal senators at that time, like Joe Biden and Patrick Leahy, Harry Reid, voted for DOMA, along with the current House leaders, Jim Clyburn and Steny Hoyer. Then House members Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin, they were members of the House then, they voted for DOMA. Although those lawmakers reversed their public position in the mid-2010s, their votes in 96 show that it wasn't that long ago when both parties believed that marriage was the union of one man and one woman. Only one Republican in Congress voted against DOMA. Well, then you fast forward to this week when the House voted to officially repeal DOMA. Although DOMA's definition of marriage was struck down in 2013 in the Windsor decision and its provision that allowed states to not recognize same-sex marriages performed in other jurisdictions was invalidated by Obergefell, DOMA is still technically on the books. House Speaker Pelosi surprised lawmakers earlier this week by announcing a vote on the so-called Respect for Marriage Act that was introduced on Monday. Pelosi and Democratic leaders said the bill was necessary because of the Supreme Court's decision in the Dobbs case. Specifically, congressional Democrats pointed to Justice Clarence Thomas's concurrence in which the justice argued that the court's substantive due process precedents, including Obergefell, should be reconsidered. Democrats have since seized on this comment, despite Alito explicitly stating in the Dobbs majority opinion that nothing in this opinion should be understood to cast doubt on precedents that do not concern abortion. Well, for social conservatives, Tuesday's vote repeals two important realities. First, that many politicians, including some Republicans, believe that the marriage debate is settled and would like nothing more than to have this issue go away. That was reflected by the House vote and much of the rhetoric on the Republican side of the aisle that showed a reluctance to address the issue directly. Second, tell you what, we'll get to that second point after the break. This is Crosstalk here on VCY America as marriage is under attack again. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we see right-to-life efforts all over the news these days. What does the Bible say about this?
Chris, the Bible is clear. Humankind is created in the image of God with great value and worth in His sight and is to be respected and protected. At conception, the embryo takes on human status, although not yet completely grown. The Bible discusses how the growing embryo is an individual, has feelings, and on some occasions even expresses itself. When a pregnant woman was injured in Bible times, such that the baby lost its life, there were consequences to be faced. The Bible doesn't give us all the details, but there's enough there to be certain that the unborn child is a viable human person and must be protected. Chris, the Back to Genesis way of thinking helps us understand modern issues.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Yes, indeed. Marriage is under attack again as the House passed the repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act, repealed DOMA in what they call the Respect for Marriage Act, H.R. 8404. The battle will now go to the U.S. Senate. I'll be giving you information on its number coming up. It's already passed in the House as 47 Republicans joined with the Democrats in order to see its repeal take place. Not one Democrat said, no, we don't. We marriage is between one man and one woman. Not a single one would stand up. And 47 Republicans defied their platform, defied scriptures itself, and joined to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. I've been looking at a column here that appeared in the Washington Stand, in which this legislation that was passed certainly brings up a couple of points that they point out. That number one was many politicians, including Republicans, believe that the marriage debate is settled and would like nothing more than to have the issue go away. And then secondly, Tuesday's vote reflects the reality that many Americans have also moved on from the marriage debate. Just a few years ago, it would have been unimaginable that 47 Republican House members would vote to overrule millions of voters who had defined marriage between one man and one woman in their states. Imposing an errant Supreme Court decision on all 50 states would have been simply unthinkable. After all, the current Republican Party platform says that marriage between a man and a woman is the foundation for a free society. Condemns the Windsor decision for removing Congress's ability to define marriage policy and describes the Obergefell decision as a lawless ruling. But the fact that 47 Republican lawmakers bucked the official party position, voted to repeal DOMA, shows that they do not believe that there will be a political price to pay. If they thought voters would punish them, most would have voted differently. Political cowardice notwithstanding, the latest poll suggests that the political assessment of the public's changing views on marriage is likely correct, they report, fueled in part by a growing segment of Christians in the electorate who no longer accept the Bible's teaching on the subject. This point was illustrated in 2020 by George Barna, who showed that 34% of so-called evangelicals now reject the definition of marriage as a relationship between one man and one woman. He says, as I've discussed elsewhere, the Bible is clear in its teaching on marriage instituted by God in the Garden of Eden. Natural marriage is a covenantal relationship between a man and a woman that's intended to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. Keep that in mind, folks. The marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. The Bible teaches that marriage is permanent and exclusive and that sexual differentiation is part of God's plan for marriage. God did not create same-sex marriage. He did not create non-binary people. I mean, he created two complementary, biologically, genetically sexed individuals. God built marriage as what it is, the very fabric of creation, male and female. It's not accidental. It's not incidental. It's central to God's design of human beings created in his image. The mandate is to be fruitful and multiply. You cannot do that in a same-sex marriage. It's given to both the man and the woman. Neither could fulfill this charge alone. Looking back at the article here, it said Christians have believed and taught these truths for millennia. And it's just as true today as it ever has been that marriage is a context for strong families, thriving communities, and stable civilizations. Well, the cultural winds have shifted dramatically in many Western countries, including the United States, with 47 Republicans capitulated to these trends and voted against natural marriage, society's most important pre-political institution. Hopefully, Republican senators, they write, senators will show more courage and wisdom than many of their House colleagues if and when it is their turn to vote on marriage. And so, friends, the battle does turn to the United States Senate at this time. And they have introduced, here's a press release that came out earlier this week, Senator Baldwin, who is an open lesbian, Senator Feinstein and Collins introduced what they call the Bipartisan Respect for Marriage Act. Senator Baldwin said marriage equality is a constitutional right that has been well established by the Supreme Court as precedent. An established right established in 2015? Folks, for millennia, marriage has been between a man and a woman. The Obergefell decision was released on June 26 of 2015. And they're calling this a precedent? What happened to the millennia of precedent of what marriage really is? We can't redefine it. And even as a former person running for lieutenant governor in our state, don't know where she's standing on it now, but indicated that at one time that if you change the definition, who says I can't get married to, you know, this desk or to this, at 2 o'clock or whatever it may be? Once you change the definition, folks, there's no end to where this can go. Well, the Senate version is Senate Bill 4556, S-4556. It's a bill to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act and ensure, that's what it says, and ensure respect for state regulation of marriage. Now, the text has not been released. I'm assuming it's going to be very similar to what the House version was, but the legislative website had not put out the text for it as of yet. But we do know that there have been some co-sponsors already on this. And you say, well, it's, you know, it's a 50-50 split, and the vice president would have a tie, but you have to have 60 votes. Well, folks, don't count on that. Don't count on the issue that they're not going to have 60 votes. I mean, here I'm looking at the sponsors so far of this that have signed on as co-sponsors to this bill, S-4556. The lead individual here is Senator Dianne Feinstein, but co-sponsors include Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat from Wisconsin, and the next two are Republicans. Susan Collins of Maine, Rob Portman of Ohio have already signed on as co-sponsors. So I wonder how many other Republicans are going to sign on, or if they won't sign on, that when the time comes for a vote, they're going to follow their colleagues in the House of Representatives by also signing up. I'm going to provide for you a phone number to your senators so that you can let your views be heard. There was virtually no notice given whatsoever. I mean, to first see a press release a little after 5 o'clock on Monday and Tuesday, the vote is taking place. Was that done on purpose? But here in the Senate, at least there's some lead time. We don't know when this is going to be scheduled. Right now, leadership is saying we don't know if we're going to have time for this. But folks, look how fast they passed this in the House. Within a day of it being introduced, there it was. And the Senate S-4556, you can reach your two U.S. senators at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. You may also contact your senators. Their direct numbers are available at senate.gov. Don't assume. Don't assume that your senator is automatically going to vote a particular way. I can tell you many people in southeast Wisconsin, Brian Stiles' district, never thought that he was going to sign on, vote with Democrats on that and defy marriage. They didn't think that was going to happen. And I'm confident that there are senators right now that unless they're contacted by their constituents in that regard, that same thing is going to happen. Whoever thought that this person would have defied marriage? Whoever thought this person would vote against the Defense of Marriage Act? So the number to your senator to let your view be heard is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And to find your specific number to your senator, you can go to senate.gov, and you'll find all 100 senators there, senate.gov. You can click on your state, your senator, and get direct numbers to their D.C. office, to their district offices as well. That's at senate.gov. Some other information I want to share with you here today on this. Listen to this headline from LifeSiteNews.com. 47 House Republicans just sold out marriage, warned GOP senators not to do the same. Matter of fact, they say in their story, following a stunning dereliction of GOP leadership, 47 Republicans in the House of Representatives joined all Democrats on Tuesday in voting to pass a radical bill to make the redefinition of marriage virtually impossible to untangle. Introduced as part of Democrats' fear-mongering efforts over the U.S. Supreme Court, the so-called Respect for Marriage Act would federally recognize any marriage lawfully performed by any state and force every state to recognize any marriage of any other state between the two individuals without regard for the sex, race, ethnicity, or national origin of those individuals. The bill would also force the federal government to recognize any definition of marriage that a state might come up with in the future, sight unseen. So while the two individuals language gives those voting for it in 2022 something to point at to claim the bill isn't that extreme, the fact remains that if and when a state decides to validate polygamy, the federal government will have to agree. House Republican leaders, this is from LifeSiteNews.com, House Republican leaders Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise gave their members permission to support it, and 47 of their fellow House Republicans did just that. The bill does go to the Senate, where Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says Democrats are currently working to see whether they can get 10 Republican senators to cross over and pass it over the 60-vote filibuster threshold. Will your senators, how will they vote? Will they know your views? You may contact your senators at 202-224-3121. Very interesting indeed to see this vote take place and on a moment's notice here so very, very quickly. Also from FRC Action, they said, as the Republican Party platform observes, traditional marriage and family based on marriage between one man and one woman is the foundation for a free society and has for millennia been entrusted with rearing children and instilling cultural values. Isn't that something, how 47 Republicans were willing to turn their back on their own party platform in that regard? Now, friends, there are other issues that are going on pertaining to this as well. For instance, looking at CBNNews.com, more than 100 churches have gone to court suing the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church because they want to leave the denomination immediately. The main reason involves disagreements over United Methodist clergy performing marriages for LGBTQ couples and ordaining LGBTQ people as clergy in the church. 106 Florida churches want to leave the denomination and take their property with them. The lawsuit says the church leadership is not abiding by the church's book of discipline, which deals with Christian doctrine, the denomination's beliefs, and the ownership of church buildings and properties. Well, we understand the same battle is going on in other states as well, where that battle for so-called same-sex marriage is taking place. But friends, a banner on a historic Boston church illustrates the decline of Christianity. This is the Church of the Covenant in Boston, where they're hanging a large banner. And here's what's written. And God said, I'm reading here from WND.com, a Dennis Prager's column. The banner of the church reads this. And God said, protect abortion access for all. Ensure Black Lives Matter. Honor bodily autonomy. Defend LGBTQ plus rights. End voter suppression. Turn guns into plows. Abandon fossil fuels. Provide sanctuary. Abolish prisons. Disarm hate. Speak truth. Breathe. In other words, love. That's the banner on the Church of the Covenant hanging in Boston. Where in God's Word does He say, defend LGBTQ plus rights or abortion access for all? What a mockery. What a blasphemy. We'll be back with more in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Crosstalk as we know it began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Hank Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine-formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America, and friends, we're talking about marriage being under attack again, and we are living in that same time we see over and over played out, yea hath God said, where we see God establishing marriage in the book of Genesis, God creating man in his own image. He created them male and female. He blessed them, called his name Adam. You know, they went on and established marriage. And even Jesus, and in the New Testament, you know, he said, he was asked by the Pharisees, and in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, the Pharisees came to him, tempting him, saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain, or they two, shall be one flesh? Haven't you read that? Haven't you known that? I mean, since the beginning of time, that has been the case, since the beginning of mankind. And friends, I want you to understand where this is going today, because we were also just alerted that Webster's Dictionary has just redefined female to include man. You see, once you change, definitions, there's no ending to where this is going to go. They have just changed the redefined male to include men. Unbelievable. I went online, you know, to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and you see there the definition of female. Really, and let's see, they talk about one who's able to bear children, but then here's letter B, having a gender identity that is the opposite of male. A gender identity. It's amazing. That we've gone so far in our redefinition here to change even the definition of what it means to be a woman. No matter what you do, folks, you can't change that. You cannot change the genetics. You cannot change the biology of this, but it's going on. And so there's no end when you start changing these definitions like we do with marriage, and then we do have sex, saying, no, that's sexual identity or gender identity. Is it any wonder right now that the NCAA has nominated William Leah Thomas, that's the transgender swimmer who dominated actual biological females in the 2021-2022 NCAA women's swimming and the diving season? Townhall.com telling us that she's been nominated by the University of Pennsylvania to receive the NCAA's Woman of the Year Award. Isn't it amazing? And all the women, biological women whom he has crushed, I misspoke, he has crushed by declaring to be a woman. We see also what's going on with our military right now. The military, U.S. military, facing an unprecedented recruiting crisis under Joe Biden, forcing to drastically cut forecasts for the number of new recruits that expects to bring into the armed forces, reports Newswire. The AP reported that the U.S. Army officials said this week that they will be 10,000 recruits short this year, and next year is projected to be even worse. It is projected that the Army General Joseph Martin, Vice Chief of Staff for the Army, indicated that the military branch could be down to 445,000 soldiers by the end of next year. It was hoping to be at 476,000 soldiers by the end of this year. A majority of the current fiscal year already gone, the Army has only met 50% of the recruitment goals. Well, friends, we've gotten so engaged in this pronoun instruction and making sure that those who men who identify as women have access to the showers of women, biological women, and so forth. The indoctrination, the training that's been going on, and that leads to things like this as well. The State Department. This is coming from the FreeBeacon.com. The State Department helped fund a film festival this in September that featured movies depicting drag queens, incest, and pedophilia, the Washington Free Beacon has learned. The State Department, folks. Queer Lisboa, an international queer film festival held in Portugal, was given $10,000 as part of the Biden administration's push to support LGBTQ+ and diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility efforts abroad, according to a State Department spokeswoman. The festival's offerings included P.S. Burn This Letter, Please, a documentary about drag culture in post-war New York City. Other films as well, like with one dealing with incestuous twins. Another one, a movie about a 17-year-old Jewish boy who leaves his parents to explore New York City's gay scene. And we're funding this with tax dollars to the U.S. State Department, funding a film festival depicting drag queens and incest and pedophilia. Friends, understand where this goes when we defy God and His Word and defy what He has said? There's no end to all of this. And sadly, this is infecting the church as well. Jen Hatmaker, this was on The Dissenter. Jen Hatmaker, who first publicly renounced Christianity in an interview with Jonathan Merritt, says she first questioned evangelical Christianity because gay people couldn't have sex with each other, says that Beth Moore is her mentor. Jen Hatmaker said on a podcast with Alicia Crosby that the church simply isn't black enough, gay enough, and transgender enough for her taste. Now, in her latest episode of Deconstructing the Christian Faith, Hatmaker asserts that viewing Jesus as a male causes black, brown, and LGBTQ women to be afraid of him. Here's what she said. Viewing Jesus as a white man and God as father, or, you know, a man, period. Hatmaker goes on to say, emerging from the clouds with his stern disposition and of this sort of ruling with an iron fist and this powerful, almost punitive approach to humanity generally serves one group of people and one gender, this idea. She continues, what makes it so painful and difficult for black and brown and female and LGBTQ plus communities to see themselves in this personification, not just see themselves, but feel safe with this God. Folks, this is turning us away from God. Turning us away from him. And I think it's so appropriate to understand that a word for many a church today and some of the Christian leaders is the word Ichabod. Ichabod. Look it up. You'll see it at godquestions.org. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 4:21 and 14 verse 3. Ichabod, the son of Phinehas, the grandson of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh. The sad story of Eli and his two wayward sons, Phinehas and Hophni, found in 1 Samuel chapters 2 and 4. Hophni and Phinehas died in a battle with the Philistines, who captured the Ark of the Covenant, took it away from Israel. Upon hearing this terrible news, Eli fell backward off his chair and broke his neck and died. Phinehas's pregnant wife went into labor and she bore a son, and she named the son Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed from Israel. The glory of God has departed. Is that what we are witnessing in our country at this time? Has the glory of God departed from us? We're defying him. We're defying his word. And then we sing God Bless America? I'd like to get your reaction to these things here today on Crosstalk, as the House has already taken its swipe at marriage. The Senate is poised to do that. We don't know when. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Oh, here on the Catholic side as well, LifeSiteNews.com. Cardinal Dolan endorses Father James Martin's new LGBT activism group. Yeah, Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York recently gave a strong endorsement of James Martin's activism and the dissidents Jesuits' new LGBT group called Outreach. In a letter dated May 5th and published late last month by Outreach, Dolan praised the organization, which Martin launched this year, describing it as an important ministry ahead of its annual conference in June. Thanks for the chance to greet you as you gather for the Outreach 2022 conference at Fordham University, Dolan wrote. No one should ever feel that they are alienated from God's love or ineligible for his grace and mercy. Amazing. We'll get your reaction to these issues here today. No, I'm not endorsing the Catholic Church by any means. But to hear, as this has been that which has stood for this aspect of morality pertaining to marriage, how far they have gone as well. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Kevin in South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Just a quick thought. I've heard it before, maybe even heard it on your program, but somewhere I've heard it that if God doesn't pass judgment and bring judgment on the United States, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm. And we just see what's going on and the judgment that is coming.
Yeah, it is coming. And Scripture reminds us not only as it was in the days of Noah, but as it was in the days of Lot as well.
Exactly. So, Jim, continue to bless you and your program, and God's hand of protection be upon you as we see the battles and the struggles. And as you're alluding to, the lines are being drawn, good versus evil, and that's getting very confused.
Kevin, thank you for the call. Folks, yep. Let me remind you of the phone number to the U.S. Senate. It is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Keep in mind, your House members really did this kind of secretly. I mean, introduced it one day, and we saw the first press release after 5. I don't know what time on Monday they announced it, what time Nancy Pelosi did. But the next day, the very next day, casting their vote for this. Let's go to O'Neill in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
God bless you, Brother Jim. I just want to endorse what you're saying today. As I was listening, the scripture came to mind, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll just read a few verses quickly. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fear, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. I'll stop right there and encourage your listeners to go and read the rest of it.
Yeah.
But quickly, we see the whole, what is happening in the world, the devil is behind everything. And once you go against truth and biblical values, you're going against God. And that's what the devil is doing. But we need, as believers, to take a stand regardless. Because for Christ we live, and for Christ we must die. Thank you, Brother Jim.
Amen. Thank you, O'Neill. Great comments here today. Chris in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment about the House vote on codifying gay marriage. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, I wanted to say that if we codify gay marriage, then gay relationships and gay sexual interactions are going to have to be taught in the schools. And I think people don't quite realize the implications of it. It's not just so gay people can get married. There's a lot of other things that's going to go along with it. And that's how we've gotten to this point. Through compassion, no one wants to say, you know, what was first it started with what happens in our bedroom is our business. They got these sodomy laws struck down. Then, you know, we're a happy couple. We want to adopt. So they adopt children. Now they say, okay, we're a normal, happy family. We want our relationships and sex taught in school along with heterosexual families and sex.
Yeah, and you know, Chris,
so I think this needs to be struck down. We've got to come to an agreement in our society. Is sodomy between same sexes normal, natural intercourse? If it's not, then we got to get it out of our schools and quit normalizing it. Yeah. If it is and we accept it, then anything goes. We have to teach it to all of our children.
And thank you. I'm up against a break here, Chris, but I would submit to you that that's exactly what's going on in our schools at this time. It's not this is going to happen. It is happening right under our watch. We'll be back with more of your calls here in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There are three steps the communists are using to carry out their ongoing revolution in America. Now, let me make this very clear. There are many plans and many processes, but there are specifically three steps I want to concentrate on today that the communists are using to carry out their revolution in America. Number one, formal communist education. Most of our schools, elementary schools, as well as high schools and colleges, are giving young people, now for decades, a heavy dose of communism under such names as common good or social justice. Number one, formal communist education. Number two, self-criticism and criticism of America. America now has been declared a racist nation, an evil nation. We're called to criticize ourselves as Christians and conservatives. And then number three, the censorship of reality and truth. These are the steps for a communist revolution.
I don't have time to get into this here, but folks, on Breitbart, there was a story breaking. LGBT activists push the bar even further. This is just stunning. I'm just going to share the first sentence here from Breitbart. LGBT activists are pushing to bar anthropologists from identifying human remains as being male or female, arguing that scientists cannot know how an ancient individual identified themselves. Outrageous, folks. That's where we are going in our society today. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say that in his word? Questioning what God has said? Folks, we've got to get back to thus saith the Lord, not yea, hath God said. Let's go next to Paul calling in from Bussey, Iowa. Paul, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to address the beginning of where this got started. Before the 1870s, the state had no interest in defining marriage. But after the Civil War, many states decided that they would put laws in place to define who could get married and who couldn't, so that they would separate the races. Of course, whenever government gets involved in anything, it destroys whatever it touches. So after government decided to define what a marriage was with a license, it also defined what a dissolution was. And we've had escalating divorce ever since we obtained a license because government touched it and decided they would define it.
Hmm. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your comments here today. Holly is next in Anderson, Indiana. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for your program. I just wanted to state that I feel like, you know, many years back, you know, it's been a while, but before they started to, you know, the churches were like the moral compass of our society, and whatever the churches set for the guidelines, everyone followed, and they're like, you know, no sex outside of marriage and all these things, you know, or before marriage. But they just kept giving a little bit to try to please everybody, and it seems like it just was more and more, and now we're where we are today. And I feel like it's just a society where, you know, where does confusion come from? It doesn't come from God, and we just need to be like Job and just drop to our knees and pray, or like Moses, pray for society, but we need to do more and, you know, speak up, and, you know, we need to get our heads out of the sand, and all I have to say, and God bless you.
Thank you, Holly. And folks, a reminder, too, to be in contact with your senators. There's the elections that are coming up. Are your values, do you vote on your values? Or do you vote by your party? I mean, are you looking at the people who you're voting for, what their positions are? The number to the U.S. Capitol to reach your senators now is 202-224-3121. We've got Merle calling from Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for taking my call. I believe these are the final nails being put into America's coffin. This satanic spirit became on steroids during the Obama administration when they said their number one goal was to promote LGBTQ XYZ worldwide. That came out of off the lips of Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State. That was their number one priority, to spread it worldwide. I believe the final nails could be put into the coffin. We got it. We need revival, Jim. Big
Amen.
Time.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Merle. We've got Mary next in, Central Wisconsin. Mary, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. Here is the words of our Almighty Savior, Revelation 21:7-8. The one who overcomes shall inherit the heavenly kingdom, and I shall be his Almighty, and he shall be my son. Now here's the villain list. But as for the cowardly, the untrustworthy and abominable, the murderers, those who whore, and drug sorcerers, idolaters, and all the false, their part is the lake which burns with fire and sulfur, and it is the second death. Mm. I wonder how many of our politicians perfectly fit into these categories.
Yeah.
I rest my case.
Sad to hear. Thank you for sharing that. And friends, that's why we plead with you to come to faith in Jesus Christ. We don't want any of you to suffer that eternity apart from Christ in a place called hell, the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. It was created for the devil and his angels. We mentioned that the other day. But God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We've got Mike calling next from Mount Pleasant. You're on the air, Mike.
Yeah, hi there. I just want to say that the left is very deceptive and very subtle. One of the key strategies is to use the word tolerance to introduce perversions and acceptance of perversions. Matter of fact, when's the last time you heard any conservative say the word perversion pertaining to the LGBT queer community? And they shove it down our throats any chance they get by using the word tolerance.
Yeah.
And it's corrupting, it's evil. And the last lady in central Wisconsin, she hit the nail right on the head.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Mike.
Thank you.
Ralph is next, South Dakota. You're on the air.
I agree with you 100% when you say, you know, we need to get back to God's word, but we also need to get back to the Constitution. Anything that is not mandated for the federal government in the Constitution mm-hmm. should be left to the states.
And that was the argument that one of the arguments that was made in the recent decision reversing Roe, that there is not a constitutional right. You're not going to see same-sex marriage in the United States Constitution. You did not find abortion
right.
in the Constitution itself either.
And so that's why I'm saying, and this isn't just recently, this has been going on for years, that mm-hmm. There certainly should be a lawsuit coming against, if this would happen to pass, that, you know, this is just blatantly unconstitutional. Mm.
Thank you for your thoughts here today on the program. And to others, I apologize. We're down to less than a minute here, and we've run out of time on the broadcast. But friends, I again want to encourage you to use the standard of authority by which we have. It is God's Word, the Bible. He is the one that not only created man, but created the institution of marriage. And it's between a man and a woman, as he has declared in his word, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we need to uphold that. We need to be bearers of truth. And it needs to be sounded from our pulpits today. But friends, we can't cower from that either as we go about in the everyday life, the workplace, and in our neighborhoods as well. We can't cower from this important truth. But we need to understand there are consequences when we forget God. And I really believe we're seeing the bearing out of many of these consequences even today. Well, our time is gone here on Crosstalk. Thanks for tuning in here today. By the way, your senators can be reached at 202-224-3121. Critical issues. We don't know when they're going to bring it up for a vote. Lord willing, on Monday, Matt Staver is scheduled to be with us, and we're going to re-examine this issue once again and look at it further from a constitutional perspective. Trust you'll be able to join us then. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.